I want to ask you to stand with us tonight for just a moment and turn in your Bibles to the book of Philippians in chapter number 1. Philippians and chapter number 1 in the Word of God tonight, okay? I've started this, and I'm going to, Lord willing, complete the study through the book of Philippians one way or the other. And I've done set my mind to that, so I want to do just a little bit on it tonight, as the Lord would lead me and allow me. And so you keep your Bibles open. There's two or three verses, two or three different places in the Bible I want to be turning to, and some scripture I'll be reading and referring to, and try to bring the little thought that is not a great big thought, but if we'll look at it, I believe it'll help us a great deal in our Christian life. In verse number 1 of Paul, of Philippians chapter number 1, Paul makes this statement. He said, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. Grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for the songs we've sang and those we've heard. We thank you tonight, Lord, for the fellowship we've enjoyed. Thank you for the Word of God that's before us. I pray you'll open it to us now and bless our hearts with it. I pray you'll stir us, Lord, save sinners, revive the people of God. I pray for the unction and help and grace and mercy that I need tonight. I can only be a blessing, Lord. If you make me a blessing, I pray that you will. Help me to say something the folks can get a hold of, tuck away in their heart. Keep it there that they might not sin against God. I pray for the sick and the afflicted tonight. Those, Lord, that are away from us, I pray for them. Should help them, give them divine help that they need. Bless now every family that's here and every home that's represented. And bless us, Lord, as we preach the Word of God. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, and you may be seated, all right? I want to read verse number 2. It's where I'll be drawing a small little thought from tonight. And I'm serious, unless God, I don't have an outline at all. And somebody said, Brother Milby would be proud of me for that. Amen. And he probably would. But verse number 2, Paul says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, often we read through the Scriptures and we fail to see certain small things that really, when they're developed spiritually, they become big things. And those big things bless our heart in a wonderful way. And we see words that we recognize and we become so well acquainted with them that often they mean very little to us. We think about them, but we don't really meditate on them enough to draw the juice out of them that we need. Now, the Bible's got a lot of spiritual juice that will be, when I say spiritual juice, I'm talking about the power of the Spirit of God in it that will help us and bless us if we'll meditate on it and let God speak to our heart from it. And there's two words here that really caught my attention. The first one is the first word in that verse is grace. Paul said, grace be unto you. And that second word is peace. But really, for instance, then he said, from God, our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. But what struck my heart more than the words, and the words is what I'm going to be drawing from tonight. But what struck my heart more than just the words is really what Paul is saying here. And if I was to title the message tonight, it would be a small prayer with a powerful, powerful work. And when you look at that verse very closely, Paul is not just saying something to fill up space or to fill up something on a piece of paper we call the Bible. When God wrote something down, God meant exactly what he said, and there's something there that will help us and strengthen us in our Christian life. And when I got to looking at that, I realize that Paul, in reality, is praying for these people. That is a small prayer. You don't find the word prayer mentioned there anywhere. But in reality, Paul is praying for these people. And what is he praying for? He's praying that grace would be unto them, and then that they would have peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, like I said, the word prayer is not there, but if you look closely, that's what that's got to be. Paul is in reality praying for these people. And the grace that he is referring to here is not salvation grace. We think of the grace of God, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we think of salvation grace, but the grace that Paul is praying about here for these people to obtain is not a salvation grace. It actually is a sanctifying grace. He is praying that they will become, be conformed or transformed or conformed into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that they will grow more in grace and in knowledge of the Son of God. And so it's not a saving grace at all that he's referring to. They're already saved. What he's talking about is a sanctifying grace. Now, he put it another way like this in the book of Titus chapter number 2. When he said in verse 11, he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men." Amen. Now that is salvation grace. The grace of God that bringeth salvation. That is a salvation grace. There's no question about it. But he moves very quickly to sanctifying grace. When he said, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men," and then he said, "teaching us." That's a schooling grace. That is a sanctifying grace. And this is the grace that Paul is referring to these Philippians. He said, "Grace be unto you." In other words, sanctifying grace. Grace that will make you more like the Lord Jesus. And that's a beautiful thought when you stop to think about it. That here is a man that is praying for these people that they will allow the grace of God to grow. And by the way, grace is something that does grow. It's according to 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse number 18, grace is something that will grow. And it should grow. We ought to remain stagnant in grace. Grace, by the way, is unmerited favor. And you and I ought to be able to show a little unmerited favor toward our fellow man if God has shown unmerited favor to you and I. But he starts out in verse 11 of chapter 2 of Titus speaking about salvation grace. But then he said, "teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." And so he goes from salvation grace to a sanctifying grace. And I want to say to you, not only the authority of the Word of God, if you have truly been to Calvary and been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, that grace of God that wrought salvation in your soul will also teach you some things about living a sanctified and dedicated life for the glory of God. Paul said there that it ought to teach us. Grace was a great teacher. Mrs. Hall and I were sitting tonight. Her on what I call her perch and me on my perch. And we got discussing things about the Bible. And I said, "Sweetheart, you're a better Christian than I am." She kind of chuckled a little bit and said, "No, you know better than that." But I really wasn't joking. And I'm a preacher. Now, somebody said, "Preachers are supposed to be the best Christians in the world." Not necessarily. Not all the time. But I think my wife is a good Christian. I magnify God for it and thank God for her. But that saving grace that Paul is referring to there is a grace that will teach you and I. And it'll teach us how to live. If there's anything God's people need today, it's to be taught how to live a successful Christian life. To be taught how to live a Spirit-filled life. God wants to teach us how to live a holy and a sanctified life. That's called schooling grace, teaching us. Last time I looked at things, it was a teacher that taught. And so it says, teaching us, and here's what it teaches us, that denying ungodliness. Now, if we've got a sanctifying grace, and that's the grace Paul's referring to these Philippians, what he's saying is, grace be unto you. If I can put it like this, he said, I'm hoping you've got enough grace that you can deny ungodliness. And you know, that's something that's very difficult to do, especially in the society that we're living in today. Because anything that is not godly is ungodly. And there's so many things that I can stand up here and preach on tonight that are ungodly, that God's people ought to deny. And self-denial is one of the most difficult things to do in all the Bible. Amen. Deny thyself, take up the cross, and come after me, Christ said. Amen. Now I'm telling you that self-denial is one of the most difficult things in all the Bible to do. And denying ourselves of fleshly lust and things that we desire in the flesh is sometimes very difficult for us to do. You've heard me tell this story, but some of you have not. It won't hurt some of you to hear it. Hear it again. But I'm telling you, years ago after I got saved, God began to deal with me about them little white things that hang out of the corner of your mouth. They call cigarettes, stogies, you know, Marlboro. And, I labored with them things and labored with them. I'd throw them down one day and pick them up 2 hours later. I'd throw them down out on driving on the route and I'd throw them away, and the next store I stopped at, I stopped and buy another pack. Couldn't seem to get the job done. But there came a day that I finally was able to deny that lust that I had for them cigarettes. I got rid of them. And boy, when I got rid of them, I'm telling you, I swelled my chest out. I said, I'm really some Christian now. And about that time, the Holy Ghost said, is that right? He said, well, you got rid of a little cigarette, but said, what are you going to do about all that muck and mire that is in your heart?
Right.
And I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there's more muck and mire in our hearts tonight as saved people than we ever want to own up to. That is the grace Paul is referring to in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 2. Grace be unto you. That is sanctifying grace. A grace that will sanctify you wholly, body, soul, and spirit in the Lord, and let you walk in newness of life and bring glory to His name as you do so, and leave a testimony to others and a witness to others as you take that journey in your Christian life. But he said, teaching us that denying ungodliness. And then he said, worldly lust. Well, there's some things in this world that we lust after, whether we want to believe it or not, there are. Amen. And he said, denying worldly lust. And then we should live soberly and righteously and godly. When? After we're in heaven? That's not what my text here says. My text says, in this present world. Somebody said, preacher, I don't think we can do that. When God's put something in the Bible, told us to do something that we can't do, huh? I don't believe that either. He said that we ought to live soberly and righteously in this present world. How do we do that? By sanctifying grace. Grace that continually sets us apart. Where do you get that sanctifying grace? The Lord said in John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And if you want to have, if we're ever going to be sanctified, if we're ever going to become a holy people and a peculiar people for the Lord, we're going to have to get our nose and our mind and our heart in the Word of God, then tuck that Word away in our heart that we might not sin against Him. Somebody say amen right there. That's right. And then he said, looking. That grace will help you look. For what? For that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, I found out a long time ago, if we're looking for Him, we won't be looking at a lot of other things.
Amen.
If we'll keep our eyes on Christ, it's like those five foolish virgins in Matthew 25. I'm just telling you, they did not in their watch keep their eyes open for the Lord. Did the Lord not tell in that parable? He said, watch. For you know not what hour your master cometh. And again he said, watch. Yeah. Now I'm going to tell you, hey, we better be at watch. That's right. The night is far spent. Now I'm telling you, Christ is soon to appear. I know a lot of people don't believe that. And every time I say it, I get funny looks. But I'm telling you, it's a fact. Somebody said, you've been saying that ever since I've heard you, been hearing you preach now for over 24 years. Well, I'm going to keep on saying it the rest of the preaching time that I preach. And I'll tell you why. because Noah preached that it was going to rain, and he kept preaching it for 120 years. And you know what happened? It rained. It rained. That's right. And I'm telling you, Jesus is coming. And hey, and if we'll set our affection upon things above, it will give us a hope that is steadfast. That, by the way, that's sanctifying grace. That'll build you a hope. Friend, I'm telling you, a man that loses hope is a sad, sad person. God help us. I'm going to tell you, we've got to have some hope. But I'm telling you, the society we're living in, the devil's doing everything he can do to drag us down and pull us down, doing all he can do to defeat us. But I've got news for him. I've read the last chapter in the book, and he's not going to defeat us and win the battle. We done got the battle won. Amen. I put it there, we've got the war won. We may lose a battle every now and then, but the war's already been won. That's exactly right. Amen. Don't lose that hope. That sanctifying grace will help build you a hope. And you look for that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior. And it'll remind you of something. That sanctifying grace will remind you of something. Paul said, grace be unto you. What kind of grace, Paul? Sanctifying grace. A grace that will cause you to remember. Remember what? That Christ gave himself for us. That's what the verse says in verse 14. That Christ gave himself for who? For us. Amen. Now I'm glad that he gave himself for the folks out there, thank God. But he gave himself for us. Amen. With his own blood, he bought us. Yeah. I can say he owns us tonight. Yeah. If you're saved, he owns you and he owns me tonight. We're his purchased possession. Amen. And we belong to him. That's right. That saving, that sanctifying grace will help you and I to remember that he gave himself for us. Why? That he might redeem us from all, and here we are. There's that saying. Redeem us from all, not a little bit, but redeem us from A-L-L, all iniquity. Amen. And purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good work. Hey, we are to be the most peculiar bunch in all the world. Amen. They've got a word that they use over in the eastern part of the state, and I've never learned how to say it right. My wife may have to correct me on it. It's for somebody that's, I'm not talking about a sodomite, but somebody just kind of a little strange acting. You know, they just act a little weird is what we'd call them. But the word they use is quar or something like that. Did I say it wrong, babe? I said it wrong, didn't I? But a little weird acting. But they got that word over there. And we're a peculiar people. Amen. We're not like everybody else. You know what the word peculiar means? You're different. Amen. Sanctifying grace will make you different. In other words, Paul said, I'm praying that God will bestow upon you at the Philippian church enough grace that you will become a peculiar people, a people that is different from all the other people that are in the world. And I'm telling you, we ought to be different from the rest of the crowd. We ought not to suck cigarettes, and we ought not to drink liquor, and we ought not to go to the movie houses, and we ought not to buy television sets and set them in our house either. Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And then he said, these things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. Now I'm talking about that grace. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father. He's praying for them. For them, I just might as well interject this right here. He didn't say grace be unto me. He didn't say I'm so selfish, I want the grace on myself. I want to become all this. He's praying for them. He said, grace be unto you. Amen. Oh, we're so far behind on praying for other people. And I'm going to tell you why. Again, selfish. Amen. We don't have a problem praying for ourselves. But I'm going to tell you, when it comes to praying for somebody else, I'm afraid we've got problems. But Paul is praying for somebody else. Grace unto you. Now, to sanctify them. I thought about this text. You can turn there if you want. I'm not going to read much of the scripture. But it's in the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter number 12. And Paul is writing there about himself having several visions and revelations of the Lord. He was caught up into the third heaven and saw things there and heard things that were and caught up into paradise. And he heard the unspeakable words, which is not lawful even for a man to utter. And because he was caught up into that heaven and had so many visions and revelations, Paul said, in order to prevent me from swelling up with pride, he said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And God gave him that thorn in the flesh to remind him that he was flesh. And that's all that he was. I don't care how many times, Paul, you've been caught up to that third heaven. You're nothing but flesh. And Paul said, I besought the Lord three times. He prayed three times that God would take that thing away from him. And finally, you know what the Lord told you? You know what the Lord said. I preached this before. I don't have to tell you. The Lord said, my grace, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. I'm telling you, that's the same grace that Paul is referring to in chapter number 1 of the book of Philippians, is that same grace that is sufficient. Oh, yes, it's not only a sanctifying grace, it is a sufficient grace, amen, that is sufficient for everything that you and I will ever need.
Yes, sir.
Brother Stevens and I were talking about Brother Brown the other day, and said something about to the fact that, about dying. And said, Brother Brown told him, said, well, I'm ready to die. And Brother Steve said, how can you say that? And he said, grace. There's grace. God's got grace that we've never needed yet. God will never give you grace that you don't need. It'll only come in an hour of need. You don't have dying grace yet, neither do I. I'm going to tell you why. We're not dying. But when it comes time to die, God will give us dying grace. Now, He give them sanctifying grace. He give Paul sufficient grace here for that thorn. And by the way, He'll give you grace that is sufficient for all the trials and tribulations and persecutions that come in your life. He'll give you enough grace to take care of that. He certainly will. Sometimes we act like we're going down the tube, don't we? We act like it's all, we feel like it's all over. We want to throw our hands up in the air and say, what's the use? We might as well give up. No, ain't no, there's no point in giving up. You know why? His grace is sufficient for you. I'm going to tell you, we're just leaning and trusting in the wrong thing. Miss Hall was over, sitting over tonight, and she said something, and I said, we was talking about this grace and how God teaches them one thing and another. And she said, God's getting ready to teach you how to love. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I shouldn't have said it. I said, well, He's getting ready to take me away from you. And she said, God ain't going to take you nowhere. I said, He knows I need you. I need to lean on you. I need you to lean on too much. And I thought that sounds pretty good. But the fact of the matter is, it's not me that she needs to lean on. I'm glad that a woman can lean on her husband. But I'm going to tell you, ladies, who you need to lean on is the Lord. And there's leaning grace. Amen. He'll give you the grace to lean on Him in times of suffering, in times of trials, in times of trouble. Amen. In times of persecution, even in times of sickness. If you'll trust Him. That's right. God will teach you to lean on Him. And so, old Paul said he took pleasure. He said he took pleasure, praise God, in infirmities and in reproaches and necessities and persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. He said, for when I am weak, then am I strong. And so there's that sanctifying grace and there's that satisfying grace that I'm talking about. Then he said, grace be unto you, talking to that Corinthian church. And he said, in peace. Well, I'm going to tell you, ain't nothing like peace. Now, I'm just about done. Take my word for it. He said something. He said, in peace. And again, he's not talking about salvation peace. He's talking about daily peace in our lives. I'm going to tell you, have you ever seen anybody that's a basket case? Son, I'm telling you, some people are basket cases. They really are. They know nothing about peace. They get upset and over the fence about every little thing that happens that comes their way. They lose themselves over it. They don't have the peace that they ought to have. And sometimes these things are medical things. and it's beyond us. God will have to take care of that. But that's not what I'm referring to. I'm referring to people that just, they're just not satisfied, if I can put it that way. They don't have enough peace to satisfy them. Do you know when peace comes? Deep now, listen. Peace comes when there is a war and somebody wins the war. And I'm going to tell you, when we'll have this kind of peace that Paul is referring to in the book of, in Philippians, is when we finally throw up the white flag of surrender to the Lord. And under no uncertain terms, just let God know whatever comes to my life is there for a purpose and a reason and a plan that you put there. And if you put it there, everything will turn out all right, and it will. And so why do get uptight about everything when God's still on the throne, He's still in control, and grace and peace is still ours in the Lord from day to day living? I'm not talking about before we got saved, or I'm not talking about after we get to heaven. I'm talking about now as we live in the world. And that grace can be developed, and that peace can be developed as well. He said, grace. Grace be unto you and peace. And who does it come from? From God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now I want to ask them, how can you improve on that? When you've got God the Father and the Son of God both working on our behalf, how can you improve on that? There's not just one of them giving grace and one of them giving peace, and not one of them giving grace and the other one giving peace. They're both passing out grace and peace like you and I would pass out candy to our grandchildren just to make the parents mad. We got down there in Florida. I told Benny, that boy his likes them Werther's that's got that gooey in the middle. He had a bunch over here at the house when I was out here the last time. I told Benny, I said, well, I got some bad news for you. He said, what's that? I said, I got 4 bags of Werther's, and I said, I'm going to wind that boy up tight on a banjo string. He said, he's sleeping with you tonight, pal. Kang. If you think that's a Kang, man, I'm going to tell you, he's done met his match, boy. Amen. That boy loves that Kang, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. But it'll sweeten you up. And I'm going to tell you something. That grace of God and that peace of God that God gives, the peace of God that passes all knowledge. It passes understanding. It's not salvation peace, but it does pass, give us understanding, and it gives us knowledge. Boy, I'll tell you, there's some things that we need to get a hold of. There's things we need to understand. Things that's going on in the world around us. I don't think God's people understand why it's taking place. We think something terrible is happening because of the way the economy is and the way the world is and all the wars and the rumors of war. Hey, the Lord said this is a time that we ought to have peace in our heart and look up because our redemption draws nigh. This is a time we need that kind of grace is right now. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know about you, but I've got it. I'm not a bit worried about what's going to happen. Somebody said, what would you do if Iran dropped in a nuclear bomb on you? I said, I'd go to heaven. Now, wouldn't that'd be rough, wouldn't it, for a man to have to go to heaven? I mean, hey, we can't lose. We can't lose. Whether we live 150 years old or die young, if we're saved, we're going to heaven. We're going to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, when it comes time to make that crossing, there'll be somebody standing there in the shadows. Standing somewhere in the shadows, you'll find Jesus. Standing there watching and waiting to carry you across. Let's stand together, please.